Second Kings 6, please. Second Kings chapter 6. Brother CT had told me to put a few of these on his table back there. And so I did, and I got some left in this bag. This is my sister. I'm not a salesman. I'm just doing this to maybe help you. It's Songs for Prayer and Meditation. This is my older sister playing these hymns, and they're played so a church that don't have a piano player. I mean, they're played absolutely, directly, totally by the book. Every verse, introduction, so a church that don't have a pianist can sing along with these. And they're the old hymns, many of them, Red Book, and a few out of other books. But I'm going to let you have these for $10 a piece. If you want one, just put $10 in there. Okay? God anointed my sister just to tell her testimony is miraculous. And I may tell it one day. I probably don't have time today. But God anointed her on the old piano in the old church, built in 1938, the old beady board walls, the original pulpit, the old piano and the pews. God anointed my sister to play the piano at Camp Zion. And our church goes down every year, first of the year, and we pray all week for the new year, for the outpouring of God's Spirit. Brother Williams has been down there, and we have some glorious times. Let me tell you about one time. I can say I've been in one service at least where everybody was in one mind and one accord. We was down there one year, several years back. It was on a Friday morning, last day. I walked over to the old church. When I stepped up on the steps, there was so much power of God, it about knocked me down. And opened up the door. Everybody in there is weeping. We went on like that for I don't know how long, loving on one another. It's the greatest love feast I have ever been in. I'm telling you, it done something to me I've never got over. Now that's what your soul cries out for. That's what the lost world is looking for, is love. There's no substitute for it. The world knows nothing about it. They know an emotional and a human affection, an emotional love. And love is a father for a child, mother for a child, or parent, or spouses for one another, and that child for a parent, that type of thing. The love of God's never been shed abroad in a man's heart till he's born again. And until you're born again, you do not know how to love, because you love from a selfish standpoint, for the most part. Therefore, God's love is a sacrificial love. It's an unconditional love, and it's a love that surpasses all the experiences of mankind. And we're going to bask in God's glory and God's love forever. Unadulterated, no fallen nature, no devil, no discontent, no division in our hearts. In perfect union with Him. Oh, Lord, we look forward to that day. Lay down these robes of flesh forever. Appreciate Brother Jimmy. He's a businessman. He's a contractor. He's making a lot of effort just to be here. Drives from Walkertown. He builds houses. He's not getting any sleep. He goes over there and fellowships with everybody late at night. He's got to be young. He's getting old quick doing that type of thing. Give honor where honor's due. And I think we're so unappreciative many times, and you may not be, but I think in the church we're so unappreciative of people that sacrifice. You never know what it's cost somebody just to be in the church, just to be there that day. You never know what some little wife or mother's gone through just to be there. And one word of encouragement sometimes can turn the whole perspective of a person around. We need to be like Christ. We need to go about doing good. And we need to try to share some sunshine and hope with people in this world. And if you want to get a blessing, learn to be one. Learn to be one. He that hath friends must show himself friendly. Somebody says, I don't have friends. You just told on yourself. Now, some people can't help that to a certain degree because they're born like that. They're born with a real introverted nature, and they give anything not to be that way. And I'm not talking about people like that, but we can even appreciate people for who they are, not what always we want them to be, and have mercy on people because the Lord had so much mercy on us. Well, Jimmy, you couldn't sing a more appropriate song than that one. When I stepped out, you just started singing about the power of God. And the sons of the prophets said, oh Lord, unto Elisha, behold now the place where we dwell with thee. These boys had wisdom beyond their years. They knew who to hang around with. You better learn who to run with. I believe when a young man starts out preaching, Brother Randy, main thing he needs to learn, he needs to find his crowd. And I'm not trying to promote sectarianism, but I'm talking about people believe like you. I'm talking about people that's got a good spirit. And when you get around them, makes you want to love Christ and not go kill somebody. Amen. They're dwelling with Elisha. And they said, let us go, we pray thee. I tell you what, this old man of God's spirit rubbed off on them. They've got a zeal. They got a zeal for the work of God. It needs to be expanded. It needs to be advanced. And they want permission. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. Now, I'll say more about this maybe in a minute, but these boys, these sons of the prophets, having wisdom beyond their years, they are dwelling with the right man, Elisha. He'd been around Elijah. Now, I don't believe in, you know, churches succeeding. Like Tracy, I don't know how in the world you're going to trace a church back to the days of Christ. How in the world are you going to do that? I mean, but I do believe it's important that we get connected with some people that's really walk with God. And that's what these young men did. They're connected with a man that was connected to Elijah. Verse number 3, and said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. You see how wise these young men are? They don't want to go do anything. They want to hang around him as much as they can. They want to be around him when he prays. They want to be around, they want his blessing on them. Just his presence, just being around him will secure a blessing, and they know it. How many people have any clue about that anymore? There are certain people carry a blessing with them. Amen. And he went unto them. When they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. As one was fell on a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, alas, master, for his barred. They know how to talk to him. They know how to defer respect to a man. Amen. You folks in here, that's my elders, I honor you. When an old person walks into a room, it'd be best if we stood up. The aged man, you stand up for them if you can. Show them respect because they've deserved it and they've earned it. Talking about a godly person. They fought battles we don't even know yet of. And the man of God, and the man of God said, where fell it? He showed him the place. He cut down a stick, cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. If your Bible says float, you got the wrong Bible. The iron did swim. That's life. That's a picture of life going against the current. Amen. Therefore said he, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. Well, I think these morning services are supposed to be teaching services, and I have a hard time just teaching and not preaching, but anyhow, it's the truth that counts. But I want to talk to you a little bit on where did we lose the axe head? Where did we lose the axe head? It doesn't matter how strong these young men are. They have nothing in their body. They have no makeup in their hands or feet or anything that can cut a tree down. They need an object outside of themselves that can get the job done, that's got a cutting edge and can hold an edge that they can penetrate a tree to bring that tree down. So they're totally dependent on something outside of their nature, something outside of themselves. And they want to be effective. They're wanting to expand this school. There's so many young men coming to study the Word of God that they've run out of room. And they need to expand. They need to build a home. And they've got a burden for that. And they began to get prayed about it. No doubt prayed about it. Concerned about it. Praise God. They said, we're going to do something about it. So they go talk to Elisha and ask him for permission to go and do this very thing. Cut down trees and make a place and expand the sleeping quarters and the studying quarters of these men of God. I'm sure a lot of times Elijah thought that his ministry was a failure. But if you go back to the days of Samuel, Samuel started these schools of the prophets. In Elijah's day, he's carrying it on. And then Elisha's carrying it on even further. And Elijah's work is being furthered on. Samuel's work was furthered through Elijah. And Elijah's work is furthered through Elisha. If we do God's will, our work will never die because it's not our work. It's God's work. Jesus said, I'll build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He's not going to bless what you build. He'll bless what he builds. Amen. Elijah's labored for years, and now Elisha's come to the helm. And we see here that Elisha has this same burden on his heart of being a blessing to these young men. And what a blessing that it is to see those that have labored in the cause of Christ and still got a burden for others and a love for others. Now we see here that Elisha is called the man of God. It is believed here that in the days of Elisha, of course we know this for a fact, the apostasy that was there, it amazes me. I've said this before here, but it amazes me where God put Elijah and Elisha is in that northern kingdom. It's in all that apostasy. It's where Israel didn't have one good king. They didn't have a tabernacle. They didn't have a place of worship. They didn't have an altar. They didn't have a priesthood. And God sent to us some of the best ever lived in all that apostasy and all of that ungodliness. Aren't you glad God will not leave himself without a witness? God sends some men to Utah. He sends some to Idaho. He sends some out west. He sends some up north. And it looks like a bare desert. But what an opportunity for God to get on somebody, do a work in spite of all the opposition. Now we see here that Elisha is like Elijah. He maintained his integrity. He remained faithful. And these young men had confidence in him. I want to tell you something. That besides your salvation, when you do God's work, greatest thing, you got your name and your influence. And don't you sell that out. Some people, you never get it back with them. Guard your influence with everything you've got, because that's all we got. Elisha had done that very thing. He proclaimed the word of God in boldness. They seen him faithful in that apostasy. They seen him faithful when nobody wanted to hear. They saw him faithful how they knew the story of him following old Elijah for 10 to 20 years and being learning how to be a servant. And now God's elevated him, and by example, he can teach them how to walk with God. Now, my dear people, the people of Christ, listen to me. When God saved you, and you received the Holy Spirit, Jesus had the Holy Spirit without measure. That means he was so yielded to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit wasn't hindered in any part of his being all that he needed to be. Without measure. But the only thing that can sustain us is the filling of the Holy Spirit. I seen yesterday as we were eating, and I watched preachers because, you know, my own experience, I know some of what they go through. And the average Christian that's not a preacher, and I wouldn't expect you to understand this, you don't understand how drained a preacher gets after a real high service or one his spirit has fought demons the whole time. It'll wire you out. Spirit touches spirit. The Holy Spirit touches your spirit. And spirits of hell touches our spirit. And we feel that. And we sense that. And we battle that. That's part of the battle of prayer. Oh, when we get to that place, what do? Same thing you do with a car. When you get out of gas, you pull in to fill her up. A lot of times we want to say, well, I need to feel sorry enough for my sin. That ain't what God said. The Christian, when they confess their sin, agree with God, and repent of it, they're forgiven right there. Right there. I don't know, and I wouldn't tell this if I didn't feel like I needed to. I was so impressed as we went over to eat yesterday, and most people with any kind of spiritual honesty, we'll say, God's really moved in this meeting. That can't be denied. And you would think that a young man like our evangelist would get puffed up in pride. Don't tell you what I saw yesterday. Randy, we come back in here. You know what he said? Boys, pray for him. Pray for him. He humbled himself in front of us and said, y'all pray for me. He knew he had to have it. And God's teaching him something. He's teaching us something. You'll never be great for God till you totally have to depend on him. You can't depend on your outline. You can't depend on your name. You can't depend on what God done in the past. You got to depend on him. Because I might preach a good sermon, but it'll fall on deaf ears if God don't touch it. Oh, my God. Some of that stuff yesterday is too holy to repeat. My God, for times like that. Amen. Where God does something down deep inside. Folks, here's what I'm trying to say. We don't need an emotional tickle this morning. We need something that'll be working 10 years from now. I need God to do something way down deep inside of me. I need God to enlarge me. Enlarge my desire. Enlarge my victory that I might glorify him. And when I ask him that, he'll do it because that's his will. I just can't tell him when to do it. I don't know how long it'll take to do it, but he'll do it. And let me first give a quick overview of this text and try to hurry. The sons of the prophets, plural. Plural. The sons of the prophets. Notice here in this story, we see that these young men here knew something about being submitted, something about servitude. They were willing to work. The request of these men is to go to the banks of Jordan to cut down raw materials that'll be necessary in building these schoolrooms and this dorm. Then they pleaded here with Elisha to accompany them. There is no substitute for experience. None. Now you might have got saved yesterday. And you so yielded to God. Sometimes you see people that when they get saved, they totally yield to God at that moment. What it takes God sometimes 20 and 30 years to get people to do, and longer than that. And they get filled with the Spirit. That means they're under his control right then. I'm going to tell y'all something. There's no shortcut to maturity. None. The only thing that'll mature you is experience. It's going through life. A mushroom can come up overnight. It takes 40 years to build an oak and longer. Praise God. So they go to the banks of Jordan. Take the old man of God. Oh, they value the aged man. In the process, they had borrowed an axe head. Probably no doubt, since they didn't rent it, they didn't have any money to rent it. Since they borrowed it, it's probably from somebody saved. And axe heads made of iron were so rare. This would be, as far as cutting down trees, this would be a commodity that would be so precious that to lose it would be a tragic loss. The student cries out for Elisha's help. Alas, master, for it was borrowed. Oh, here's what they're saying. They're saying, sir, it'd been bad enough if it was mine. But the problem is, it don't belong to me. And I can't replace it. We've got to find it. I can't replace it. Elisha said, you want to find that axe head? Where'd you lose it? Where did you lose it? Now we're wanting that. We're trying to get God's power without getting down to business with God. How we got where we are. Thank you, Brother William. Elisha cut down a stick, cast it in thither, and the iron and the axe head did swim. Now, Elisha here instructs the young prophet to lift it out of the water. Now watch this. This is the grace of God. God, this young man lost the axe head. In the mercy of God, the axe head swam. And God let that same young man that lost it reach down to retrieve it and have part in getting that axe head back. That's the grace of God. The application for the child of God and the man of God is this. The recovery of lost power. How do I get back the cutting edge? I don't know about you. I want to be effective. Not to build a name for me. I want to be effective for the glory of God. I owe it to Him. He's done so much for me. The least I can do is give Him what little I got. Ask Him to get glory out of it. Now, where did you get sidetracked? Where did you get defeated? Where did you lose what you had? Boy, a critical word can do that. Where did we see so bad God? Where did we stop walking by faith? Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Where? Oh, when did we cease walking in victory? When did we cease advancing in maturity? When did we cease being Christ-like? But thank God, this labor's done by selfless servants. These men are full of zeal. And they said, Elisha, man of God, let us go. We're all in this thing. We're all together. Each man's going to take down a beam. Every one of us is going to labor for the cause. Oh, what a blessing. There was no jealousy among these men. They're all laboring together for the common cause. They had a vision to get involved. They're not going to sit idly by while the apostasy takes over and do nothing. They're going to do what they can for the glory of God. You know what success is in God's eyes? Genesis 5:22. And Enoch walked with God. Genesis 5:24. And Enoch walked with God. Genesis 6:9. And Noah walked with God. You walk with somebody. You're in communion. You're in fellowship. God help us to quit trying to have a 10-minute prayer meeting to see the fire fall from heaven and just walk in unbroken fellowship every day. That's where it's at. Then when you need a call on God, it'll be there. 2 Chronicles 17:4. Jehoshaphat sought to the Lord God of his fathers, walked in his commandments, and not after the doings of Israel. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. What's that commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. That's his commandment. And your neighbors yourself. If you do those two, that's all. You ain't got to worry about none of the rest of them. You do that first one, all the rest of them's there.
For to walk with God means to live in close fellowship, to walk faithfully, to obey, to follow close to Him, to walk with Him. I tell you what a blessed thing when two people in with the same agreement, going the same direction, can walk down the path of life hand in hand, doing the work of God. So these old boys, watch this, didn't have much, didn't have any money, but they sure had God, and they had God's man, and they had God's word. We may not have much, but we got what we need. 1 Samuel 17, David heard the challenge of Goliath. You know what David asked? He asked him to repeat it. What's the reward for the man that kills that giant? He asked him about it. And then he's rebuked by his brother, why camest down thou hither? With whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? That's Eliab, his brother. And Eliab. And so this little shepherd boy is walking down there in the midst of these men, being mocked. Now I'll tell you one thing. What David had, it's what Elisha had. It's what everybody's got to have. Faith. 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 In God's word. And they got the job done. And these men will too. So we got the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got the Holy Ghost. We've got the word of God. We've got all the promises of God. Who was it? William Carey, I think it was. I get these missionaries mixed up. William Carey, I believe it was, wrote his wife back in England. And Brother Andy said, all we've got left is 25 cents, but all the promises of God. We got salvation by grace. We've got the call of God. We've got the communion of the Holy Spirit. We've got the authority to go. God sent us. We've got the record of God's faithfulness in the past and in the present. We know what's going to happen in the future. Amen. We've got the example of the faithful men of God. And the farther that you go with the Lord, the more demands He's going to put on you. These prophets had something else besides. They got vision. They got a burden. They got faith. And they got unity. They're at one with each other. They spoke as one voice. They spoke as one man. 2 Kings 6:1, the sons of the prophet said, and Elisha, behold now, the place where we dwell, these two stray for us. Verse 2, let us go and take every man a beam. Verse 2, let us make us a place there. Verse 2, where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. Notice the plural here, sons, we, and us, and ye. Oh, what a blessing. They labor in unity and great humility. That's who God's going to bless. Elisha means God is salvation. God is my Savior. Folks, what would happen if we'd just step on the neck of pride and everybody in the church would get before God at one time and tell God how helpless and hopeless we are and get honest. We've not arrived. Anything good about me, blame Christ. Anything bad, blame me. We got to have Him. We're doing everything but what we ought to do. Now I'm talking generically now. Well, we see here, God told Moses, He said, this crowd's so full of sin, if I walk among them, I'm going to consume them. I'm going to send an angel to go up with you. Moses said, count me out. He said, if you don't go up with me, I'm not going to go. Hallelujah! Some of them old men of God, they get to feeling empty in their soul. Have been in the back of the building about to preach. A crying, oh God, I can't go out there unless I know you're going with me. So here we see the labor by selfless servants. Here we see the axe head loaned for a special work. It was borrowed. That's the thing about it. What you got by grace. God, it's on loan. That's exactly right. The anointing you got didn't come from you. It come from God's choice. God chooses whom He's going to use. And He chooses how He's going to use them. But we have to yield to that. And this anointing was borrowed. It wasn't theirs. It didn't come from them. And for the kingdom of God to go forward, they've got to get back what they had. Folks, God's called every one of us for a special task and a special work. Not to exalt us, to exalt Him. I'm glad the evangelist's name's not on this sign. Ain't that a blessing? I'll tell you one verse I always sign in my Bible, John 3:30. He must increase, I must decrease. I must decrease, but He must increase. Notice, my accent was loaned for a special work. It was lost at a surprising time. Best of motives, best of intentions, and it gets lost. Oh, evidently not long into the project. Not long had they started. That they lost the axe head. And the work is halted. And it can't go forward. If they don't get that axe head back, they can't move one inch toward the purpose and the will of God. Verse 5 right quick. But as one was telling the beam. Hey, you like that old King James Bible? The old grandpa said, I went out and felled a tree. One was felling a beam. The axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, alas, master, for it was barren. For a tree to fall, listen to this now. God showed me this several years ago. I've been preaching this for a long time. But it made it more real to me when the Lord let me just meditate on this right here. When you, I ain't talking about a chainsaw now. I'm talking about an axe. When you take an axe and you cut a tree, you got to penetrate to the heart of that tree for it to fall. And you start chopping away little by little by little by little until the strength of that tree, the connection with that tree to its root and foundation is severed and it falls to the ground. The harder the wood, the sharper must be the axe. And the sharper the end, y'all know this, you ever cut with a chainsaw or an axe. You got a dull chain, you got a dull axe, it'll take 10 times the time to get it done. Felling a tree, watch this, it's why it's so important. Felling a tree brings a blessing to society. With wood you build houses, with wood you build church buildings, with wood you build furniture. With wood you can heat, you can cook, and you can do all the benefits of wood. In the Bible, a tree represents a man. It represents humility. There's nothing more glorious that I've ever seen than when God cuts down a tree. I remember one time, this is 30 some years ago, I was preaching a meeting and it went into 2 weeks and the first 7 out of 9 nights, God changed me right before I got up there and I don't even think I had 7 sermons to my name. And I was just trusting God. I'll never forget Brother Randy, this old boy about 16, probably weighed 300 pounds, big old guy. Man had an old t-shirt on, Brogan boots. I was in a mountain church. And I'll never forget when God cut that old boy down. Oh, what a blessing when conviction, God takes the word of God, penetrates a person's heart, and He cuts them down to get glory out of their life. Boy, when you see God break repentance on somebody for the first time in their life, they're not sorry what they've done. They're not sorry what they've done to their family. They're not sorry for getting caught. They're sorry. They're caught up in sorrow for what they've done to God. David said, against thee only have I sinned. He killed one of the mighty men of Israel. What glory God receives when a sinner falls in repentance. What victory and joy the church experiences when men are saved by God's grace. When God cuts down a tree, He beautifies His church with objects of grace. That's what you're building. All the paneling, whatever you got in your church building, it's just a parable of God's people. God beautifies the church with trees He's cut down. You look at the beauty of this pulpit. You look at what can come out of a piece of wood. This pulpit brings glory to the man that built it. When God fells a tree, it brings glory to the God that cut him at the heart. Nobody but God can penetrate to the heart. That man of God got that axe out. He's a cutting away. And the bigger that tree is, the more cutting it takes. When God gets to that heart, penetrates that heart, that man falls, it brings glory to God. Brother, that tree stands erect like pride. The storms come and it sways, but it don't move. Ain't nothing moving me. That's into that gospel axe, penetrates that heart, and God fails them. For his glory. Aren't you glad? In comparison to the tree, here's a massive tree like out in upper California in Washington's redwoods. Massive trees, virgin timber. And Brother Jimmy, look how little that axe is compared to that tree. But that little axe, that little head, can bring down that big tree. Our little words. Our little words. Cutting edge. Touch a man's heart. And our little effort God can use to bring down the mighty trees. God bring them to their knees. I tell you what God can do when he wants to. He fell to the earth. Heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, Who art thou, Lord? The Lord said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He trembled and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? God fell the greatest tree of the church age in Acts 9. The felling of a tree brings recognition to the worker. The community sets up and notices a church when wicked men and women are failed by the gospel axe. John the Baptist said the axe is laid to the root of the trees for children to see God cut men down in conviction is priceless. There's two things, or three things, Brother Randy, that I believe every child ought to see. They ought to see, they ought to hear at least one preacher full of the Holy Ghost preaching under the anointing. And they ought to see God's people praise God under the anointing, and they need to see sinners fall under the power of God. Psalm 74:5. A man was famous according as he lifted up axes upon the thick trees. Our history is sprinkled with great conversions. Shubal Stearns, Samuel Harris, Daniel Marshall, old Cussing Waller. I mean, men that have fought a preacher and God cut them down. Oh, the church. God's used to beautify the church. Men he saved. And that a man used to be famous. A church used to be famous by its converts. Psalm 74:6. Now they break down the carved work thereof with axes and hammers. The thing God uses to beautify the church, humility, truth, holiness, grace, mercy, love, Holy Spirit, all these things. We got a generation now sees no value in the beautification of God's sanctification in people's lives. They've made it such a common thing. Come as you are and you'll leave like you come. I'll tell you who hear me and hear me well. I'm repeating somebody says that. I've been listening to somebody preaching. I don't usually say that. God never intended for a church to be totally tailored to reach lost people. The church is to worship God, number one. Number two, it's the truth of God might be preached to build up saints. And then sinners will get saved in the midst of that. Now we're tailor-making. Everything's man-centered. Where's God at? Everything is man-centered to please sinners. That's why we got to sing their music. Nothing can offend them. Everything's got to be on their level of flesh, and that's all they get. We got a whole generation of preachers that ain't even got any discernment why that ain't right. They don't even understand it. We see not our signs. There's no more any prophet, neither is there any among us that knoweth how long. That sign means distinguishing mark, a banner, a remembrance. I believe the church ought to have distinguishing marks.
Number one, when you walk on church property in that church, there'll be an atmosphere.
Oh God, what is that?
William, I know who I'm talking about. Old boy, years ago, God gave me a heart for. He had been in prison for killing a man. He killed him in cold-blooded murder. He had been in there for 10 years. Somehow he got out. And I met him. He got earned conviction. He tried to drink a case of beer. Couldn't even get drunk. He couldn't drink liquor and get drunk. The Holy Ghost had a hold of him. First time he come to church, he walked in there. And I was preaching, Adam, where art thou? I thought if I've ever, Brother Randy, I subbound. That man was so full of demons. I mean, he had a presence around him just scare you to death. And they sent some, he was down there at the racetrack and always fighting. They sent 13 cops down there to get him. They sent a bunch of cops to get him one time in his house. He said, I ain't surrendered to no man. Bring a woman cop in here and I'll surrender to her. They ain't just evil. Just running wild. I thought if I've ever struck out, I did then. Boy, he said that night, he walked in there, felt the love of God. He said, I tried to turn around and go back. He said, this ain't right. Something ain't right about this. And instead of walking out, he went and sat down. It wasn't but a few weeks, God saved him. What am I trying to say? I'm talking about a power of presence gets their attention. They need fear, God will put hell fire fear on them. If they need to know God loves them, whatever they need, the Holy Ghost can be that to them. Some need peace, just somebody wrap their arms around them. Psalm 74:10, God, why thou cast us off forever? Why did thine anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? Remember thy congregation, which thou purchased of old, the right of thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed, this Mount Zion, whereon thou hast dwelt. So the labor is done by selfless servants. The axe head was long for a special work. It was lost at a surprising time. It was lamented as a serious tragedy. Now, folks, I'm just being honest and transparent. I believe at times the most grievous God's been over me is when I've lost that cutting edge and I don't even recognize it. And I act like I don't even care. And I'm not doing anything about it. And I'm trusting everybody else's prayers and everybody else's life. The axe head was lost. Here it is. I'm getting to the heart of this. Somebody got careless. Somebody got careless. He got that axe head and it wasn't tight. Because they didn't work with it long. And axe head's not going to get loose that quick. Whoever they borrowed for it, he was careless. And give them the axe head and they got careless. Felt that thing get loose. Yeah, now an axe head's going to get loose, you're going to feel it. He felt it, but he kept putting off doing something about it and securing that axe head. And he kept putting it off. He's cutting wood down there at the riverbank, a tree right there on the riverbank, and it flies off and goes into that riverbank, and he got careless. The axe head has three basic parts. It's got the axe head, that's preaching of God's word and power. The effectiveness of a life that's got the cutting edge. And then an axe head, an axe has got a handle. That's mankind, that's man. We're just a handle. The gospel is the axe head and the sharpness is the Holy Ghost on it. Third part is small, hard to see, and insignificant. It's called the wedge. That little old wedge holds all that together. That little wedge holds that axe head on that handle and makes it effective. What that man does, he takes that axe head and or the handle, he puts it in the axe head and puts it in water. So it'll swell up and get tight, dry. That wedge is driven in there so that that'll be stable. What holds the wedge on the handle? The soaking in God's word, continuing in the word of God. Three things every preacher's got to learn. Number one, you got to stay balanced. Number two, you got to stay broken. Number three, you got to stay burdened. Amen. Balanced, broken, and burdened. God told Elijah in 1 Kings 19, the journey's too great for thee. Oh, how we need God to keep that handle or that axe head on there strong. Keep it sharp. It was borrowed. The work was ceased. Got too busy. Got careless. Lost her quiet time. I believe that that wedge represents your devotional life. That's what holds it all together. Is your daily walk with God. That don't mean you got to pray 5 hours a day. That means when you're driving your car, you're in fellowship with Him. Everywhere you go, you and the Lord's talking. And you'll be real careful what's coming in your ear off that radio or anything when you're trying to walk with God. The axe head was located at a specific spot. Folks, let's get honest. Let's quit covering up the loss. Let's acknowledge it. Let's confess it. I don't tell you, I've never got where I want to get. I want to strive to get there. He appealed to the prophet for help. He found somebody could pray. He made an assessment. A lot of times, your fellow Christians in your church may be just about the same shape you're in, but get them to pray for you and you pray for them, God's going to bless both of you. We'll find the axe head where we lost it. You better find it quick because it's going to get farther and farther away. With grace, God allowed this man. God let this axe head come off. God let it come off. You know why He let it come off? Because He let it come off at a time nobody got hurt. If you make most of your blunders when you first start preaching and ain't nobody heard about you, that's the best time to learn and not have to learn 40 years down the road. Nobody got hurt. God's grace is in all this, and these servants learn a valuable lesson. Their faith's going to be increased. Elisha had compassion. He didn't jump on them. The Lord won't jump on you. You just get honest with Him. He's just glad you know what you need. He said, where fell it? Number one priority, find the axe head. We're out of business. He lost something there he can't replace. Brother Jimmy, you come on. Said, where fell it? This was designed to awaken hope. You know what Elisha said? Where'd it fall? I tell you why. Because He's going to do something about it. God's going to do something about it. God brings us face to face with our failures to do something about it. Where do we lose the victory? Over the world, the flesh, and the devil. What disobedience. What indifference. What carelessness. What bitter spirit. What unforgiveness. What pride, arrogance, harshness. What jealousy. What unbelief. What lust. What greed. What sin. What selfishness. What self-will. What self-confidence. Where did we lose it? I told y'all this the other day. Things get hard on me. I try to practice my preaching. I don't always do it. When things get tough, I want to get as close to God as I can. That's the answer. Then He lifted by supernatural power. He showed him the place. He cut down a stick, cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. You know what He done? He got humble. He confessed. He put faith in the Word of God. Cast in a stick. I ain't got time to preach this. This is an Irish sermon. That stick means wood. The very thing He's trying to cut down is what God used to find the axe head. What's a stick got to do with an iron or an iron axe head? Don't have a thing to do with it unless God says do it. God cast a tree. That stick was a small tree. Cast in the Jordan, the place of death. Christ cast on a tree. In the place of death to recover the lost power and the lost image and the lostness we found ourselves lost in Adam. Swim means it had power to get off that muddy bottom. Ain't no way that I found that axe head. It's already down all that mud. Hey, He brought me up out of a horrible pit. He knows how to bring it out. God give you the power to come to Him. That's how you come to God. He give you the power to. That's how we do God's work. He gives us a power, grace to repent. Now He can reach down, lift up the axe head, attach it again, and continue the work. It's embarrassing to go before God and confess Lord, I didn't mean to do it in the flesh. That's why I've been operating in the flesh. And I don't want to do it. And I want a prayer life, but every time I try to start it, I get sidetracked. Brother Andy, in closing, Book of Acts, chapter 6. The men of God are being confronted with all these daily tasks, and they're getting sidetracked, and they're going to lose the axe head. God said, find 7 men. Good report. Full of faith and the Holy Ghost. You know why? Because the Greek, Hebrew women and the other, the Greek Jewish women and the Hebrew women, kosher women, and then the Greek women, Jews, having a dispute. So more than passing out the bread, those deacons were to be peacemakers. You got to be full of God and the Holy Ghost to be a peacemaker. And so that man of God to give himself to prayer and the ministry of the word. Some of y'all have lost the axe head because you running after fleas and neglecting the kingdom of God. Say, I want to go visit my members every week, once a week. Yeah, you won't have nothing to preach on Sunday probably unless you got 10 people. We better get first things first. God called a man to handle his word. He didn't call you. Your first job ain't visiting hospitals. That's right. We don't believe that no more, but that's right. Most churches don't want their pastor in the study because they'll get too full of God and God's word. That's why we need to help the pastor so he can give himself to God's word. That doesn't mean he shouldn't be there. He's going to be there all he can. But he needs to give himself to the word of God. Moses is over there doing all that court work. His father-in-law Jethro came up and said, you're taking too much upon you. He chose out 70 men. That's the origination, they say, of the Sanhedrin. So Moses could take care of the most important thing. Folks, your prayer life, your devotional life, ain't nothing more important in your life than that right there. That's what keeps that axe head on there and keeps that thing sharp.